live.
All right. Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for participating in the call. This is Melissa Merson, the Communications Director at CBO. I think I know most of you, but for those of you I don't. The report was issued on our website this afternoon. I'm assuming you all have it. The procedure for the call today is pretty simple. Peter Orszag, our director, will outline the report, and after that we'll take questions. He is joined today on the call by Joseph Kyle, who is the assistant director of our Microeconomic Studies Division, and also by Nathan Musick, who is the principal analyst in that division who worked on this report. Before I turn it over to Peter, let me just tell you that if you would like to ask a question at the conclusion of the brief presentation, please press star 1 on your touchpad, and if you change your mind and decide you'd like to withdraw from the queue, press star 2. The operator will recognize you in order, and if you would be kind enough to identify yourself by name and your publication so that everyone else knows who you are, we would be grateful for that. And with that, we'll turn it on to Peter. If you have any questions after the call, please don't hesitate to contact me here in the office.
All right. Thank you, Melissa. What I wanted to do was just make 6 points about the report and then open it up for questions. So this front part will be quite brief. But before I get to the substance of the report, I do want to note that obviously the report is being issued at a time when there is heightened awareness of and sensitivity to infrastructure issues associated, in particular, with the unfortunate collapse of the bridge in Minnesota. This report is much broader than just bridges. It was requested several months ago by the chairman and ranking member of the Senate Finance Committee, and it updates work that CBO has done regularly. The last report that we did on broad trends in infrastructure spending was released in May 1999. So while we'll have an opportunity to talk a little bit about bridges in particular, I wanted to note that the report itself was a regular thing that CBO does and covers much more than bridges, or and actually much more than bridges and highways and roads. And actually on that, before I turn to the 6 key points, the definition of infrastructure that we apply in this report covers spending for highways and roads, mass transit, rail, aviation, water transportation, water resources like dams and levees, and water supply and wastewater treatment. So as you can see, it's a broad array of physical infrastructure. And what I'm hoping to do is just give you some facts which are based on this report that may help to put both current concerns and broader issues in context. So the first observation is that in 2004, total public spending on infrastructure was slightly more than $300 billion. Most of that was done by state and local governments. So something like 3/4 of spending of such spending was undertaken by state and local governments, about 1/4 by the federal government. And those shares have been relatively constant over the past 2 decades, as Table A1 in our report demonstrates. So in your mind, it may be useful to remember that the bulk of public infrastructure spending comes from state and local governments, and that has been true for several decades, for a long time. Second observation is that if you examine public spending on infrastructure relative to the size of the economy, or GDP in particular, public spending on infrastructure currently amounts to about 2% of GDP. That has been relatively flat also since the 1980s. Before that, it was somewhat higher. It was roughly 3% or so in the late 1950s and early 1960s. But for the past 20, 25 years, spending on infrastructure as a share of the economy has been roughly constant. The third observation is that if you examine federal spending on infrastructure, so going back to the first point, out of the roughly $300 billion in spending in 2004 that was undertaken, the federal government spent $74 billion, or again, about 1/4 of it. That $74 billion amounted to about 3% of all federal spending. And as a share of non-defense spending, which might be another good metric to compare this type of expenditure to, it was somewhere between 3.5% and 4%. That also has been roughly constant over the past several decades. Before that, it was somewhat higher. So in particular, in the late 1950s and early 1960s, you got up to shares of infrastructure spending as a share of non-defense federal expenditures that were roughly 10% and sometimes even slightly higher. That period was a particularly a period of particularly rapid investment in infrastructure, especially by the federal government. And since then, infrastructure spending has remained, again, roughly 3.5 to 4% of expenditures on non-defense spending. The fourth point is that the total spending, so that roughly $300 billion or slightly more on infrastructure, has two main components. One is for new capital projects, and the other is for operations and maintenance. In 2004, public spending on new capital projects, or I should actually say it's not just new, it also includes rehabilitation, significant rehabilitation of existing projects, totaled $144 billion, and spending for operations and maintenance amounted to $169 billion. That breakdown, in which slightly more than half of total spending is for operations and maintenance, has also been relatively stable over the past two and a half decades or so, with about 55% of the total spending on public infrastructure coming from operations and maintenance expenditures, and slightly less than half, about 45%, going for capital expenditures. The fifth point is that, or the fifth fact is that, in terms of the federal government spending and that split between capital and operations and maintenance, that the federal government's expenditures devote about a quarter of their total to operations and maintenance, with the bulk of it coming for capital expenditures. So in that, the overall split is slightly more weighted towards operations and maintenance, but the federal component of spending is significantly more weighted towards capital expenditures. And that reflects a longer sort of historical model in which basically the federal government, to a first approximation, was responsible for, or played a larger role, I should say, in helping to create, to build new things, and then it was largely left up to the states to take care of or to upkeep the things that were already in place. And we can come back to that in a moment. And then finally, the sixth factual point just has to do with the type of spending within the federal category. Figure 6 in the report on page 10 shows that looking at that capital spending, which again is about three-quarters of the federal government spending on infrastructure, the bulk of it remains highways and roads, but there has been significant growth, especially in aviation, mass transit, and rail. And if you look at those two categories combined, that is highways and roads and aviation, mass transit, and rail, that is the overwhelming majority of capital expenditures by the federal government. Figure 7, which is on the next page, deals with the smaller, roughly quarter of federal government spending on infrastructure that goes to operations and maintenance. And there you can see the dominance of aviation and water resources, with a somewhat smaller role for highways and roads and mass transit. Since that, those are the main sort of factual observations of the report. The report also talks about the economic returns to infrastructure and summarizes the literature that has been conducted in looking at what sort of contribution to economic activity comes from physical infrastructure. That literature generally finds positive economic returns to infrastructure, but the returns depend on the type of infrastructure and how much infrastructure is already in place. In particular, the returns are significantly higher when you're just starting something like a new highway system, for example, and then once that system is in place, an additional mile of road or an additional highway tends to have a lower return associated with it. And then I wanted to just wrap up very briefly, since I know that there's probably a particular attention or concern about recent trends in highways and roads, and also relatedly in bridges, just give you some of the numbers for those categories. In terms of capital spending for highways and roads, most recent data that we have shows that capital expenditures amounted to about $75 billion, with slightly more than half of that money coming from state and local governments. Operations and maintenance spending amounted to almost $60 billion, and almost all of that, almost $59 billion, came from state and local governments. And again, that is sort of reflecting the broader point that I tried to make earlier about the historical role, at least, between the state and local governments and the federal government. We also do have some data on the bridge replacement and rehabilitation program within the Federal Highway Administration. Expenditures in that program have amounted to an average of slightly less than $4 billion a year between 2002 and 2006. About between 1982 and 1986, that is 20 years earlier, they amounted to about $1.5 billion a year. If you look at those expenditures as a share of GDP, they are now lower than they were in the mid-1980s. But if you look at them in real inflation-adjusted dollars, they are up more than 50%. So depending on the way that you examine the question, that subcategory of spending is either down as a share of economic activity or up in real inflation-adjusted terms. I guess with that, unless Joe or Nathan has anything to add at this point, let me actually make sure they don't.
No, I'd say open it up to questions.
Okay, we can open it up to questions.
Thank you. Please press star 1 if you would like to ask a question at this time. We have one question from Humberto Sanchez. Your line is open, sir.
Yeah, I was wondering, do state and local governments do a lot of bond financing for infrastructure financing? Could you, what kind of detail does the report provide on that?
Let me turn to Nathan. One thing I just noticed, the report I did not mention does talk about some of the federal tax expenditures that are also devoted to promoting or to supporting infrastructure spending. So there is a section of the report on that, but let me turn it over to Nathan.
I can give you some information, point you to where in the report that's located. Starts on page 14, continues on through page 16.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a fair amount of financing of infrastructure that's done by state and localities through tax-exempt bond financing. That varies over time, as you'll see in Figure 10. We calculate that the federal government's support for that activity in terms of tax expenditures in 2006, about $7.9 billion. That includes both governmental obligations, which only governments can issue, and then private activity bonds, which can be issued to finance an infrastructure project in which the private sector participates. So that $7.9 billion in financial support through foregone tax revenues from tax exemption represents about 16% of total federal grants and loan subsidies to states and localities in 2006.
Could you also talk about, I guess, the needs that are out there in terms of infrastructure?
The report doesn't go into that. We are familiar with literature, in particular the Federal Highway Administration that produces every couple of years a report to Congress that looks at surface transportation needs in particular. We have some facts that we can offer you, but would, you know, for the complete treatment, refer you to their latest report in 2006. It was published in January of this year. They point out that from 1997 to 2004, the estimated percentage of travel occurring under congested conditions in the United States has risen from 27.4% to 31.6%. Also point out that bridges are on average 40 years old, and the share of bridges that are either structurally deficient or functionally obsolete and a bit over 25% in 2002 and 2004. EBO has also done a report a few years ago on needs of wastewater supply and wastewater treatment, finding that between 2000 and 2019, anywhere of in the range of $70 to $97 billion annually will be needed.
How much is that?
we've got for capital and operations and maintenance together between 70 and 97 billion on an annual basis. That's in 2001 dollars. Between 2000 and 2019, that's from CBO's report of November 2001, future investment in drinking water and wastewater infrastructure. In 2004, total public spending on water and wastewater treatment was about 84 billion.
Okay, great. This is Peter Orszag. I'll just add one thing, which is that obviously the amount of resources that policymakers wish to devote to infrastructure as opposed to other potential categories of spending is a decision for policymakers. I would just make one analytical point, however, which is that it is the case that as existing infrastructure ages, one would expect costs to increase from a budgetary perspective. And that is because budgeting is not done on the same way that a sort of pure economic treatment would be, that you charge costs as you use up the infrastructure. So as infrastructure ages, you would expect either higher costs for replacement or higher costs for operations and maintenance to be a result of simple aging.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Our next question comes from Lucy Kavanov. Ma'am, your line is open.
Hi. I wanted to ask about if you can summarize the trend with spending on water infrastructure in light of Congress not having passed the Water Resources Development Act bill since 2000, and how not having a WERDA has impacted that.
I can just point you myself to the figures, Figure 6 and Figure 7, federal spending for infrastructure by type. And there you have water resource spending by for capital, which has remained fairly constant, I think, in real terms since about 2001 at least. And for operations and maintenance, it's increased recently in part due to spending for Katrina. But I can't speak with respect to pending legislation.
Well, I mean, do we see a drop-off? For example, I'm looking at 2001, and would it be safe to say that that decline seen after 2001 has something to do with the not authorizing the WERDA, or no, because states and localities pay for more of a share of water infrastructure?
So this is water fund with water treatment?
Yeah, water treatment.
Yeah. I think what you may find is that the federal government spent a lot of money in the late 70s, early 80s to help states comply with the Clean Water Act,
uh-huh.
And that has dropped off federal funding, and as a response to that, I presume state and localities have picked up their funding.
Okay.
That's one explanation.
And who's speaking? I'm sorry.
This is Nathan Music.
Thank you.
We have one other question at this time from Amina Syed. Your line is open.
Yes, hi. I wanted to follow up on the previous question asked by Lucy. The two graphs that you point to, one is showing a dip in 2001, the other one is showing a spike in the other direction. Would you say that federal funding, direct federal funding for wastewater and drinking water treatment has dropped off in the decade that you studied from 1956 to 2004? It went up, according to your report, in 72, but has it dropped off since then, from 72, since the Clean Water Act has passed?
Okay, let me get to the tables that are available on the WCBO website.
Sure.
That gives some detail of spending in real terms by type.
Oh, okay. Where should I go?
Okay, so this would be...
Those would be posted at CBO, www.
Oh, I have the report in front of me. I just wanted to know where I should look.
Oh, it will not be part of the report. It will be on the CBO website.
It's going to be on the CBO website.
It should be there now, along with the methodological appendix, which describes how we generate these data.
Okay.
The associated with this report, but not printed in the report, is a detailed set of online appendices that show spending by each of the categories.
Oh, okay, because I'm looking at Appendix 1, Appendix 2.
If instead you went to the CBO website, and right on the upper left, there's a graph from this report and then a link to it.
Okay,
there's a PDF, and then it also says data. If you click on the data and then go to the supplemental tables,
okay, I see
where
this
Nathan
one
is going right now.
Should I go on to PDF or data?
Data.
Data. Clicked. And then which supplemental tables?
Okay, you're looking for total federal spending for infrastructure by type of project in real terms. In millions of 2000.
So there are three things: web appendix, table B2, supplemental tables. Which one do I click on?
Supplemental tables W8.
Okay.
Click on the supplemental.
Okay. Just 1 second. It's an XLS file, so it's coming up.
Okay.
Here we go.
And you'll find water supply and wastewater treatment, the last entry there.
Yeah.
Okay. Then you'll find a couple of more tables that follow table 8 and 9 that splits out that funding between direct spending by the federal government and grants and loans.
This is your
total figure that you're interested in.
Yeah. Okay, so this is showing me, but can you look at this trend and say that it's gone up, it's gone down? It seems like it's gone up, but then it's, because that's one of the criticisms leveled, that it's the funding has plateaued out, federal share, and that the states have been made to pay more of. I mean,
I think you can look. I mean, for that you can just look at Figure 6.
Okay.
And you can see the waste supply and wastewater treatment part of that graph.
Mm-hmm.
And it is correct to note that in inflation-adjusted terms, the figure for 2006 is smaller than for, 1979.
Okay.
That should be apparent to the eyes in the graph.
Right. This is Peter speaking?
It is Peter speaking.
Okay. I just wanted to, ask you people, I can make a value judgment looking at this, but you guys are the experts. Anyway, thank you for...
Well, let me just make clear, it's not a value judgment. That was just a factual statement that...
No, I'm saying I can make a value judgment, but I'm not the expert.
Okay, great, terrific, okay.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Once again, if there's any other questions, please press *1 at this time. Have no further questions.
Thank you, everybody, for participating.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Peter. Thank you, Joe.
We all set here then?
That does conclude today's conference call. Thank you all for participating.